This morning, early, while I was praying for you in this service, God said, you tell them I'm the same God. And what I've done in one, I want to do again in the hearts and lives of somebody here today. I come not with enticing words. I didn't come for you to leave and say, man, what a preacher. I come for you to leave and say, my, how God met us and helped us. Because God knows exactly where you're at, friend, and what you're facing. And it's not by accident that you're here today. You know, the best clowns in the world, don't start timing me just yet. Thank you for that clock. You might magnify it. The best clowns in all the world, they don't work for Barnum and Bailey Circus. They go to church on Sunday. They stand in there, they'll shake hands one. How are you doing? I'm doing fine, fine. When deep in our heart, we've got things that we need the Lord to help us with. But it's not until we come clean and say, Lord, would you help me? Because, see, we're ashamed of what somebody around us might think if we cry or we let express our need. But Bartimaeus one day, old Bart, he didn't care what anybody thought because he heard that Jesus was passing through. And he cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they said, shut up, you're making us look bad. Now, I know it's not in your Bible, but this is what I believe Bart said. He said, honey, are you blind? Sir, are you blind? You're telling me to shut up. Are you blind? No, we're not blind, but you're making our city look bad. He said, well, I've got a need, so you just shut your mouth. And he cried out the louder, Jesus, the son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus heard his cry and stopped and said, bring him to me. And they said, be of good cheer. The master's calling for you. Do you know that was the last time Jesus passed through Jericho? What if Bart would have missed his opportunity? This could be your last Sunday. You ought to take advantage of the master passing through this place this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Turn, tell your neighbor, Jesus is passing this way. Jesus is passing this way. Oh, tell them like you mean it. Jesus is passing this way. Hallelujah. He said, Patrick Mahomes, he come from White House. That's over by Tyler. I've got a brother-in-law that lives over there. I saw Patrick when he was in high school, and then he went to Texas Tech and lots of things. But I grew up not far from here back in the late 80s. There was this guy named George Brett. I don't know if anybody knows him or not, but I had his bumper sticker, George Brett for President, on my 1969 El Camino, and would drive up here and go over and see them Royals back when Willie Wilson, and even tried out for them years ago. And I went all the way through and had some chances to go play baseball. And I said, well, the Lord's calling us into the ministry. And I make no apologies. I thought we'd sing and worship in the Lord today. I'm so thankful. One of my best friends growing up, one of our good friends, I played baseball with him. I promise I'm going to preach to you in just a moment. One of my best friends, he got mixed up in meth. He took two people with him. A guy owed him money, and he was trying to get more meth from them, and they took claw hammers. It was the worst murder in Newton County, and they beat that man. They said they found part of his brains on the ceiling. And I went to VBS. That boy sat right beside me. I thank God, and I made a decision to follow the Lord. Because there, for the grace of God, go I. I could be in the penitentiary this morning. I could be dead and in a devil's hell. But God, who's rich in mercy and grace, reached down his hand and saved me. Placed my feet on the solid rock. Hallelujah. You're here this morning. You're here this morning because God's been good to you. Oh, I did this and I did that. And it's, you know, I've been doing all this and I'm a pretty good old boy. It's the grace and the mercies of God that's kept you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, stand with me one more time. We're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 1. Certainly appreciate all the accommodations and everything that has been done, the food, the fellowship. Love and appreciate your pastor. Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor. I'm glad you're here. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we're going to start reading at verse 9. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 9. So Hannah rose up after that they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat at the seat by the post of the temple, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaiden and remember me and not forget thy handmaiden, but will give unto thy handmaiden a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. She's making a Nazarite vow. And came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away the wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaiden for a daughter of Belial or the devil, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. And Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou shalt ask of him. And she said, let thy handmaiden find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was sad no more. Father, thank you for the privilege of being in your house this morning. I pray that you'd speak to us. I pray that you'd minister and move in this heart, in these lives of these people. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless you this morning as you're seated. Just felt impressed of the Lord to preach to you on I'm desperate. Have you ever been desperate?
We got two guys that's been desperate.
You ever been desperate? What is it this morning that drives you? What is it this morning that you're consumed with? Oh, you know, if I could just, I've been pastoring there for 30 years and started out as a youth pastor, over 40 years ago, and I've dealt with people. And this is what I found. You take somebody that makes $40,000, what do you need to be happy?
Oh, if we could just make another $10,000 a year, we'd be happy. All our needs would be fine. We'd be set.
Take somebody that's making $75,000. What do you need?
Oh, we just need another $20,000 a year. And we'd
take somebody that's made $100,000. What do y'all need to be happy?
If we could just make, you know, just make a little more.
You know what that tells me? That tells me it don't matter how much you make. It's not in how much you make or how much you've got that makes you happy. All that, take everything in this world, wrap it all together, but give me Jesus. Give me a hunger for God and the things of God. The plan, a purpose that God has for me in my life. What is God's purpose? Why am I here? Have you ever wondered, why was I born and placed here in 2025? Anybody around and remember when we turned to 2000? You know, 1999, we thought the world's going to crash. The computers, I mean, I got people in my church that filled their bathtubs, all of them, filled them all full of water because the computers wasn't going to work. I mean, they bought army food. They're still eating on army packs. I mean, we got canned corn. We thought the world was coming to an end because, and all of a sudden here we found ourselves and now we're already a quarter into the brand new century. Doesn't seem possible, does it? 2025. Just a few days ago, we're celebrating a new year. Now we're already into the third month and already a fourth of the way through this. Time is quickly passing us by. And the thing that I've noticed is the church world,
Are you still with me? The church world and we as the people of God, if we are not careful, we can get caught up in everything down here and we will not ever be satisfied, fulfilled into the purpose. You wasn't just placed here to have a good job and do all of these things. Oh, if I could just be happy. Let me tell you what will make you happy. When you surrender your heart and your life and your everything to the plan and the purpose of God, and every day that ends in Y, you wake up and say, Lord, I want more of you. Would you lead me and guide me today? Hallelujah. To be ordered, your steps to be ordered by the Lord. We must have revival. We gotta have revival. Oh Lord, send a revival and let it start in me. Here's Hannah. I love the story of Hannah because first thing I noticed is Hannah was desperate. Now if you get desperate, you'll take drastic measures. My mother came down with cancer and they diagnosed her with cancer. And I tell you what my dad did. Now, my dad is, he's born in 41, so he's 84 years old. And it was about 12, 14 years ago that my mother came down with cancer. And I couldn't tell who was sick. I couldn't tell if it was my mama or my daddy. So I sat down with my daddy and I said, Dad, what is it? I said, and he was desperate. He didn't eat. I said, you got to eat. What are you doing? He said, I'm fasting and I'm praying. He said, boy, I can't make it without your mama. She's the one that keeps me in line. He said, I need God to intervene. I'm telling you what, he went for about 14 days and he didn't, I said, Dad, it'd be time for you to eat now. It'd be all right if you eat. I prayed about it. The Lord said you could eat. He said, you might have prayed about it. He said, but I'm going to pray and I'm going to believe God to intervene. And he fasted and he prayed. He wouldn't eat. He wasn't going to do any. Why? Because he was desperate. Oh, I said he was desperate for God to intervene. Can I tell you, God intervened for him. God intervened for him and God touched him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, if the church world would get hungry for God, I mean, we pray like we go through a McDonald's line. I'll take the number one, yeah. And then we pull right up and like, number one, I ordered that with no onions, please, no onion. And if we don't get it in 5 minutes, we drive off, we pray for a couple of minutes, and then we drive off, and because we didn't receive what we asked for, we forget about it. I'm telling you, we need somebody that's going to get a bulldog grip on heaven and say, Lord, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. I'm not going to let you go till you heal. I'm not going to let you go till you save. Glory to God. Now the Bible, the old brothers know that's not biblical. You need to read in the book where the man went and knocked on the door and he said, I'll give it to you tomorrow. But he said, I got a family. I got children that are hungry. And he continued to knock and he knocked and he knocked. And the man, because of much knocking, got up and gave him what he asked for. Glory to God. All through scripture, folks that was desperate, God saw their desperation. And we're living in a church world right now that needs to get desperate that God would move on behalf of his people. Glory to God. I still believe in prayer. I got people right now this Sunday morning are sitting on the front row that just came in just a few days ago, and the grandma was a pistol packing, knife carrying witch. I mean, I'm telling you what, we got all kinds of folks here in Texas in our area. And this woman come in and her purse, you know, is a big one. I went over one day and she walked off and I grabbed a hold of it. And I said, what is that? She said, my 45's in there. And I said, good night. I mean, we'd have more people hurt from friendly fire. I mean, we got all kinds. And she was there and she come in. I mean, she was a witch. She tells you flat out. And she said, I didn't believe in God, but her grandkid come and got saved. And we was baptizing her and she come to see that little grandbaby get baptized. Well, while she was there, the Spirit of God God got a hold of her heart and got a hold of her life. She came down. Maria got saved. In just a few days, she brought her mother Mary back. Now, Mary had been a devout Catholic for many, many, many years. Mary sitting there. God got a hold of her. Mary got saved. Glory to God. I baptized Mary about 4 weeks ago, and beside her was Miguel. Miguel's a big old man, got a big man bun. You know, I mean, Miguel come down there, and Miguel said, I realize I need Jesus. Glory to God. Something happens when you get to the place where you're desperate. I'm telling you, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. What would happen if you got desperate for God to move? Hannah got desperate. She was not satisfied. Now you need to read the story of Hannah. Now the Bible tells us that Elkanah had two wives. I don't recommend that. At the same time, he had two wives. Bless his heart. Praise the Lord. He couldn't go anywhere. We was driving over here today, and I had two. I had Siri telling me what to do and my wife telling me which way to go. I thought I was in the car with the Watermans. Praise the Lord. She was telling him how to drive last night. Oh, that's supposed to be funny. I'm just teasing. They're my friends. At least they was. Honey, we enjoyed the trip here. Praise God. I want you to know, and here, why? See, he married Hannah first, but Hannah could not bear children. And so in that culture and in that day, you carried on your name. And the blessing was coming. So if you did not, you was not able to bear children, the man was able to marry again to carry on his name. So he had married Peninnah, and Peninnah had gave him children. But the Bible said he loved Hannah. And he gave to Hannah more gifts. He gave unto her a worthy portion. Now wouldn't you like to be in that household? One woman that's able to give children, but she knows she's second. Don't shout amen right now. I'm telling you what, and Hannah has got more gifts than Peninnah, but she's not producing new life. And so Hannah gets desperate and comes to the place where she's not satisfied. Can I go? Would it be all right if I just preach to you this morning? Okay, here we go. These good words from our sponsor. Thank you. Hannah said, I'm not satisfied just going through the motion. I'm not satisfied just to say I go to church. I'm not satisfied just to come and sing some praise and worship. I'm not satisfied just to come. I want souls. You know why you was put here? You know why you was created? Oh, so I could have Jesus in my heart and my life. I thank God that he saved me. I thank God for what he's done for me. But I'll tell you what my purpose is and what my purpose was and what my purpose will be till the day I was placed here to bring men and women into the kingdom of God. When I was 16 years of age, I was working in this place called Tyson Foods. Anybody know what Tyson Foods is? Buddy, it was a long time ago in chickens. You don't want to work at Tyson Foods in a chicken plant. There's an aroma that goes with that. I would have to throw the chicken bones and all of the greasy skin up into an auger that would go out into an 18-wheeler trailer. And then I'd have to go out in a trailer with a big scoop shovel and pull it all back. You talk about jumping over in a pair of chest waders and sinking to your armpits. Oh, Jesus, take the wheel. I was right in the middle of that, and the boy that was working with me was a state wrestling champ for the state of Missouri. I was 16. He was 16. He walked around like this. All the girls went, "Ew, Robert, Robert, can I get your phone number?" Right behind him was Randy. I'd follow him around. They would laugh. They laughed at me because that's funny. They laughed at him because he was handsome and big.
I brought him to church. Boy, that was a good thing to do. All the girls in church that never noticed me, all of a sudden, Randy, how are you doing? So good to see you. Who's your friend? What? This is Robert. Well, little did I know that Robert, his mom and dad, was going through a divorce, and they was putting the pressure on him on who to go with. What he was going to do, where he was going to spend the rest of his life. Brother Branham got up and began to preach. Robert got up, walked down to the front, turned and looked at me and motioned for me to come with him. And he knelt at the altar, and I'll never forget that feeling at 16, that feeling that overwhelmed me, that I, the Lord, had used me. And I got out beside him, I put my arm around him, and I began to pray. And my pastor looked at me and said, Randy, God used you to bring this boy to the house of God and to bring him to the Lord. Glory to God. And I'll never, listen, I've hit home runs, I've threw touchdown passes, I've dunked on people, I've played college basketball, I've done all kinds of things. Hallelujah. But the greatest feeling in all the world is when you see a Roman come in, when you see some, come on now. And that is the purpose for which you and I was created. That is the reason we're here. There's nothing like seeing a neighbor. There's nothing like seeing a wayward child come to the Lord and know that should they go into eternity, that their name is written down in glory and that you had a part to play in that. That's why we're here.
Hannah was desperate. She was not satisfied.
Well, are you satisfied? Are you satisfied with the church and its state? I mean, I see a lot of people here that knew people and things. That's wonderful. I see some of the same guys here playing the music and guys greet me. We remember you here from 2025. That's wonderful.
Oh, when the saints come dragging in. Well, it's time to go to church.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine if they showed up?
I gotta go to the ball game. There's a chance Patrick Mahomes may come over and sign my shirt, but you know, sitting right down front, I mean, I may be.
Had an old boy come into church and said, you guys are so emotional. You scream and you holler, and I just got nervous. I went with him. His brother was pitching. I went with him. First inning, strike three, first batter. The guy jumped up. He was 6'6". He jumped up and went, yeah! I looked at him. I thought, it's coming. Second guy, he struck him out. Third guy got up. Ball three.
Oh, you need a pair of glasses.
He struck him out. Struck out the side. This guy's, God is my witness. My hand on the book, jumped up, threw his hand in the air and went, that's my brother. Woo! And he sat down and I said, you get so emotional. Because what drives you on the inside? That's what, you get more emotional over a scratch on your car than you do your neighbor that's dying and on the way to a devil's hell. We get more emotional over something that is temporal, that's not going to last. Listen to me, friend. The greatest thing and the purpose for which you are created and placed here as part of the church is like Hannah. I've got to see new souls. I'm not satisfied. Hallelujah. If you want to find your purpose for living, God created you to be a vessel that will bring men and women to God. And Hannah said, I'm not satisfied. Now look at this. Elkanah gave her a lot of gifts. She had a lot of gifts, 10 times more than the others. Look at it, 10 times more than Peninnah, 10 times more than all her children. But Hannah said, I'm not happy with all the gifts. Listen, God is, I am thankful for salvation. I am thankful for the sweet Holy Ghost. But I am not satisfied with just good health. I'm not satisfied with the provisions. I want to be what God has called me to be. There's something within a woman. She wants to be that one that brings a child into the world. She wants to be a mother. I saw her raise three kids, three girls, all of them girls. They twin girls, and they get one of them gave me twin grandsons. I got five grandsons, but I saw them from an early age. He said, pick up a doll. There's something within that little girl. She wants to be a mother. There's something created within her. Listen, friend, you and I was created to be somebody that brings new life into the family of God. You're not set here so you can come in. Can I go ahead? You're not just so you come in. Well, I'll tell you what, it's kind of hot in there, and that guy stomped all over the place, and he hollered, and they got up there, and they sang, and I stand up, and then I sit down, and then it's too hot, it's too cold. Somebody got my part. You and I was placed here so we could see new life come into the house of God. That's what's going to bring revival. That's what's going to bring that purpose in your life, is when you bring that neighbor and you come down to the altar and you see them saved and you see them lost children come to God. And that's why we're here. If you would show up for Junior's ball game, why not invite him to church? This is good preaching. Told my family, my church family, I said, on Mother's Day and Father's Day, when your kids and grandkids ask you, what do you want for Father's Day? What do you want for Mother's Day? What would you like for Christmas? Ding, ding, ding. Don't stay home and cook them dinner. Then 2 weeks later, when they're needing prayer, you call the pastor. Oh, pastor, I need you to pray for my children. They was in town last week, but we stayed home for a family day. Bring them to the house of God. Bring them to the house of God. When they say, what would you like for me to do? I'd like for you to come to the house of God with me. I'd like for you to go to church with me. You know, every time we went to my unsaved family, every time we went to my cousins and them and they had ball games, all my aunts and uncles left the family reunion to go watch Junior sit on the bench in hopes that he might get in the game. Can I go ahead and preach? We got family that come in. Well, Junior and them, they came in. You know, they've been out. Bring them to the house of God. Hallelujah. The reason they come down on that weekend is because they need a touch from the Almighty God. Who knows what God could do when you bring them to the house of God? Get them into the house of God. They may die in the next week. They may have an accident. There may be a tornado. There may be a fire. You and I are not guaranteed another day. You and I must do our best to get men and women right before the Almighty God. We've been given an opportunity. May we not be satisfied with anything less. See, what had happened is Penina is the type of the world here. She's got the gifts and she's mocking Hannah. Do you know there's a world outside that's making fun of the church? I had an old boy that played basketball with. He played 3 years at the University of North Texas. We would go into a gym and he'd say, just follow my lead. And he'd be standing. He'd shoot the ball real funny and hard off the backboard. Miss about 4 or 5 shots. And then some guys had come in. I didn't know what he was doing the first time he did it, Brother Cliff. I'm sorry. But then he'd say, hey, me and my friend here, we'll play against y'all. He made it look like he couldn't do anything. And then the baller come out when we got in the game. I'll never forget one old boy come over and said, you set us up. I mean, he could drive down through there and finish with either hand, dunk with his left or right hand.
We played in some all kinds of leagues with all kinds of different individuals. And he'd come to church and he'd say, Brandy, I like you, but y'all just too much for me. I'd see him on the side and he'd kind of laugh because we had people get excited in church. He said, it's not like at our church. We're more reserved. We believe in God and everything. We're not really a hand-raising church. But whenever his mama got sick, whenever his brother-in-law was passing away, he didn't call his big-time pastor. You know who he reached out to? He said, Randy, I need somebody who can get a hold of God. I know... I served as a chaplain at Denton Texas Health Presbyterian for 20-something years. I walked in. There was a new register behind the desk. She looked at me and she said, are you the new doctor? I said, no, I wouldn't trade places with the doctor. Well, who are you? I said, I'm Pastor Snow, and the God I represent has never saw a case he couldn't take care of. Hallelujah. I've been called into all kinds of situations and all kinds of circumstances. Hallelujah, friend. I'm telling you, and I have the greatest privilege known to mankind. We are a representation of an almighty God, and you've been called and placed here. May we not be satisfied. There's a world outside that's mocking a church in general that's going through the motions. Listen, I don't want to go through the motions. I believe if God ever healed once, he can heal again. I believe if God ever saved once, he's still the Savior today. I know he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I don't want to read stories about what God used to do. I want to see him do it again. Glory to God. And he will if we get desperate. Hallelujah. Let me ask you, do you pray? I was over there in Africa and I watched them. I watched them. The further I got towards the more stronger Muslim territory, and the clock, and they'd come out and they'd throw their prayer mats down and they'd all bow toward Mecca. And for 15 minutes in the heat of the sun, a big old group of them would pray to a dead Muhammad. I'm telling you, the God I'm praying to is alive and well. He hears me when I pray. I talked to him just this morning. I'm telling you, friend, you and I have the greatest privilege known to mankind. And the world is mocking the church. But I say in 2025, let the church rise up. Let them say, hey, we are desperate for God to move. You ever went in Walmart early in the morning or late at night? That's scary. I was on my way to church, and I was going to preach. The Lord dropped an illustrated message, and I thought, I'll stop by Walmart and pick up some rope. And I went in there, and I seen a lady had been out of our church for 2 years in her pajamas. That was scary. She's walking through there in her pajamas. Her hair's not made. It's far from made. She turned, seen me, and she went. You know what I did? I love it when people do that. Because I go, hey, hey. Good to see you. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Pastor Snow, I didn't think I'd see anybody. Really? You come in McDonald's. Come in Walmart. So here she is. I believe that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. So this is what I did. I reached over and I said, you know what? I know if you are aware of this or not, but we got church in 2 hours. Yes, I know. I'm usually working, but today I'm off. I said, good, you got time to go home and get ready to come to church. Well, I don't know that I got time this morning. I said, I'm going to pray for you. I said, God brought me by here this morning. I don't come to Walmart hardly at all. I said, Sister Snow, I said, I don't come to Walmart, but God brought me by here this morning because I needed to see you. And I threw my arm around her and I began to pray for her, standing right there by the apples and the oranges. Little stock boy's coming up through there. He's putting out stuff. He's got a whole thing full of tomatoes. He's looking at us. And I said, oh, Lord, you brought me by here this morning. You know exactly what my sister needs. I look over there. Tears are rolling down her face. Fall. Can I tell you, the next Sunday, she was in the house of the Lord. The next Sunday, she was back in there. She was crying and praying. Why? Because God wants to use you. It don't matter where you're at. You don't have to be in church. You don't have to. I'm telling you, when you go to Walmart, when you go to the gas station, wherever you're at, wherever the sole of your feet go, God wants to use you into the process of reaching men and women. That's why we're here. And when we don't do what we're supposed to do, we get sidetracked. It's easy to lose our focus when we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. But Hannah said, I'm not satisfied with the gifts. Okay, this last point, here's a good one. Turn to your neighbor, this is a good one. Turn to your neighbor, this is a good one right here. Honey, it's going well, praise the Lord. Keep praying. Here we are. And somebody in the church misunderstands. I was doing real good till I got to church. I mean, I went to church and somebody there said, you know, you're drunk. Listen here, honey, I was far from drunk. And none, but it was the preacher. The preacher said something that offended her. I'm sorry, brother, this wasn't my message. So here we go. She got offended. She could. What's your name, bud? Robbie. Robbie, like at Nike. Robbie, don't let anything offend you from being what God has called you to be. Sister, don't let anything, don't let anybody deter you from being what God has called you to be. In his backslid state, Eli the priest, who wasn't taking care of his own children, looked down there and saw Hannah and said, she's drunk. She's not. And how is it that you'd come into the house of God drunk? And she said, listen, I am not drunk. I want you to know that. I am sorrowful in my spirit. She didn't get up and stomp out. If she would have got up and went out mad because of a misunderstanding. Hey, I've had people get misunderstood in church. I was on my way. I was teaching the young married class. I couldn't find them for like 3 weeks. I called them. That's okay, Pastor. It's okay. I went over to their house. I sat down and they said, look here. The woman was crying. Look, 3 weeks ago, you walked out of the church. You walked through the foyer and you didn't even shake our hand. And you always shake people's hand. Tears running down her face. So we've done something. And we're offended because you didn't shake her hand. I looked at her and I said, dude.
I looked at her husband who's sitting right beside her.
I said, dude, you know where I was going. No. I said, the urinal in the men's restroom was stuck and overflowing and had run out the bathroom door, run under the door and was headed toward the carpet in the sanctuary. I said, you... When I come in, you and your, I told him what color cowboy boots he was wearing. I said, you and your black cowboy boots was walking through the water
Oh yeah, I remember that now. I said, I went in there and I unscrewed that little cap. I took a dime out and I twisted it to the right to shut the water off so we didn't have a church flood. Sorry, but I didn't have time to stop and shake your hand. Well, I guess that makes sense. The devil will supply you with excuses. He'll work on your mind. They don't like me. The pastor don't like me. They don't say, they said this and they said, why didn't they go? Listen, Hannah said, I've got to get a man child from the Lord and I'm not going to let anything hinder me. I believe so many times we are so close to seeing God do great things, but the enemy will bring something along and we are detracted, we are deterred from what God has for us. Listen, I feel a revival spirit in this house. I feel God getting us ready to do some great things, but you get ready, honey, the devil will do everything he can. If he can stir something up, he'll have his finger right in the middle of it trying to stir it up. But right before the victory comes, somebody's got to make up their mind. I'm desperate for God to move, and nothing is going to hinder me. Nothing is going to hinder me. And what happens? Samuel. Who? Samuel. Who was Samuel? The first prophet of Israel. Oh, we all know about Samuel because he's the one that anointed the first king, Saul. Then he moves from there and anoints this young kid by the name of David. Through David comes the lineage of the lion of the tribe of Judah. Who anointed him? Samuel. Why was Samuel here? All because of somebody who was desperate for God to move. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, friend, look out. I say look out. I say get ready for what God's going to do when somebody gets desperate for God to move. It's no telling who will come in here. It's no telling what will take place. Praise the Lord. Musicians, if you'll come and help me, we're fixing to come pray. I'm obeying the Lord here. Pastor told me to obey the Lord. So get ready. You can tell by looking at me. I'm 60. I was playing basketball with some college boys and high school boys that was talking a bunch of smack. And I said, I'm from Missouri. That's a show me state. After we had won 5 games in a row, and they were sitting on the bench saying, yeah, but you did that. I said, who's winning? Praise God. Now that night, I laid down in the bed. My toes was introduced to my heel. I could have sat on a highline wire. I started screaming and hollering. And you know what? My lovely wife of this year will be 40 years. 40 years we've been married. You know what she said? Yeah, I can tell you what she said. She said, shut up, I don't want to hear it. I told you before you went out there, you're not able to do that anymore. I said, honey, I hit them threes. I blocked shots. I drove down the lane. And about that time, my leg would cramp up and come up and kick me in the backside. I rolled over. I said, go get the icy hot. I'll go get the icy hot. She went and got the icy hot. She said, no, you don't have to tell me. I see that knot in your thigh. Why do you do that? Why do you go out there? I'll turn around and I'll be able to talk to them young people. I went to the chapel. There's 100 of them Thursday that was in there.
I talked to them about the purpose for which they was created. Teenage boys come down and stood and started weeping and tears running down their face. God filled some of them with the sweet Holy Ghost. We live in a spirit world. A lot of the church is under a heavy spirit. A lot of the church is under a spirit of oppression and depression and anxiety. But God has not given us the spirit of fear. God has not given us a heavy spirit. You can put on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Oh, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. God wants to anoint. And God wants to empower the church. Here's what happened. While I was praying, young man come by and he said, "Brother Snow, I see something's going to take place in your church." He said, "But you're going to have to get ready for it." He said, "You're going to have people that come in that you're not used to." He said, "You're going to be saying, you know, the sister with the purple hair. You know,
oh, we don't really, you know."
Just a few days, a guy come in, had like on a little tank top, and starting right here from all the way down to the end of his knuckles was tats. I mean, I grabbed a hold of him. His arms was about as big as my thighs. I grabbed a hold and said, "Come here, brother." And when I hugged him,
dude, I'm not really a hugger.
I said, "Man, I'm glad you're here today." And I had a little guy come in by the name of Mike Shelton. Mike Shelton stood up and started testifying. He could hide. He was about 5'4". He started telling about how his life was mixed up in drugs and how God had come by and saved him and delivered him. That man started bawling his first Sunday there. His little 9-year-old girl had been coming, brought on the bus and coming to Sunday school. And every Sunday for 2 years, she'd say, "Pray for my mom and daddy, they'd get saved. Pray for my mom and daddy, they'll get saved." What I didn't know is earlier that week, they called her in and said, "We're fixing to get a divorce." And she went ballistic. She was a good girl, but she went AWOL. She said, "Y'all are nothing but a bunch of liars." They said, "What is it?" She said, you promised me you'd come to church. You promised me you'd come to the children's program. You promised me, and you've not come to church one time. And so before you get divorced, come to church." His wife was standing behind him. Sure, she's standing doing like this through the whole thing while I'm hugging this guy and talking to him. And I reached out and shook her hand. She hit my hand and rolled her eyes, looked around. Mike got to preaching. He said, "You're here and you need to get saved." And they walked down and they stood right in the front. And that guy looking at me that didn't want me to hug him, tears start running down his cheek and falling off. And I walked down there and he said, "Dude, what's wrong with me? I can't quit crying." Eyes wide open. He said, "What's wrong with that?" I said, "That is the power of the Holy Ghost. It's convicting you of sin. God has a plan and a purpose for your life." He said, You know how I met Jade's mama? He said, "I met her because I was selling drugs to her. I was the number one meth dealer in East Denton." He said, I controlled it all. He said, "I've had all of it." And he said, "All of a sudden, here we are, we're about to get divorced. And Jade says, 'You gotta come to church,' and I'm standing here and I don't know what's going on." I said, "I know exactly what's going on. Would you let Jesus save you this morning?" He said, "I guess I will." He threw his hands up. Hallelujah. That was 11 years ago. Why? Because God has put you here. You want to know what will fire this church up? It's when we get desperate and we start seeing new souls come in. What happened? Hannah comes back to the service next year and she's carrying a little boy. "Look here, Eli. Look here, I want you to meet little Sam." But she had made a vow. Are you still with me? She had made a vow. "Lord, if you, then I will." Some of you need to remember what you told God when you was dying. Some of you need to remember what you told God in the middle of COVID. Some of you need to remember before you had the job that you got now, you said, "Lord, if you'll just do this, then I'll do this." All of a sudden, Hannah remembers. And so she comes and she dedicates him. She commits him. And what happened? God gave her another boy. God gave her another boy. God gave her three sons. Then God gives her a daughter. Then he gives her another daughter. God gave her five times more than what she asked for because she got desperate. I'm telling you, friend, this place wouldn't be able to hold them. There's people all around us that are waiting. There's somebody right now that's on the outside of this city that's right around us in this little community that is crying, saying, if there's a God in heaven, let somebody come by and minister to me. And I'm not satisfied. Stan, I want you to come. You got a need. God's going to meet you here this morning if you'll let him. I want us to come stand in this altar all over the house. All over the house, all over the house. God's got a plan and God's got a purpose for you. Hallelujah. Anybody desperate to see God move? Come on, come on. Young men, I want to pray for you. Hallelujah. 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 Will you come join me in this altar? I'm going to pray over you. And we're going to pray. And we're going to pray one for another. Hallelujah. This is what I believe. I believe you're going to run into somebody at the grocery store this week, and the Spirit of God's going to prompt you, instead of talking about the weather, God's going to prompt you to minister to them. And before you know it, you're going to be praying for somebody. You're going to find yourself in a place where you never thought you'd be before, and God is going to begin to use you for the purpose wherewith you was created. Sip right over here. You two young men, sip right over here. I'm going to pray for these young men. Hallelujah. Come on, Nike. Hallelujah. That's all right. That's all right. Hallelujah. 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 Man, I feel the Holy Ghost in here right now. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, man, there's nothing greater. There's nothing greater than walking under the unction and the power of a holy God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Michael lived right around the corner. Michael is 6'6". I wish I could put a picture up of him on the wall. He lived right around the corner from the church. They cut our water off this, working on the street. They cut the water. We can't have church without water. Come on now. If the toilets don't flush and we don't have a drinking fountain, people's got to go home. They cut the water. I said, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? This is the third time they'd cut the water. So I go down there and I'm talking to the guy, and the guy looks at me. He says, Pastor, do you open your doors to anybody? I said, we certainly do. He said, there's a boy over here, and I just heard him screaming and fighting right around the corner, right over there. And he said, I just feel in my heart like maybe you ought to go down there. They're screaming and fighting. Send the preacher over there. I walked over there and I took a young man with me and I knocked on the door. This big old 15-year-old kid come to the door, about as big as I was at the time, and already looked at me. And I said, I'm Pastor Snow, just around the corner. Would you like to come to church? He turned and looked at his mom and said, I'm going to church. I'll never forget her response. She said, good. He come to church. He got saved. God began to work in his life. We paid his way through Bible school. Couple years after he got saved, he was crying because his dad had died. He was having a fit, and his mother looked at him and said, you quit your crying, that wasn't even your daddy. Said, I don't know who your daddy really is. He come in and he sat down in the office and he said, my anger has only escalated. He had been kicked out of all the schools. He was in a charter school when he come to us. Anger had controlled him. And I said, Michael, this is what I know. I don't know why you went through what you did, but there's a God in heaven that's going to take what the enemy meant for evil, and God is going to turn it around and use it for good. I said, quit telling me what you don't have, and you be reminded this morning of what you do have. And all of a sudden, it began to register with him that he was placed in a church that was loving him and took care of him, and some ladies that was paying his way through Bible college, helped him get a car. Today, he is an outreach pastor in Granite City, Illinois. This morning, while I'm preaching to you right now, he has 100 to 110 bus kids that have come in. He took one of them home the other day after he had bought them a new pair of shoes. They stopped and turned around and looked at him and said, "Thank you, Brother Michael, for these shoes." He said, "I looked at my wife." He said, "Honey, that's exactly what I told Brother Snow after he bought me a pair of shoes. And I'm so glad that somebody invested in me. And now I've got the opportunity to invest in somebody else." I'm telling you, many of those young people, God is helping to do it. And who knows what God is going to do through you. I don't know what all you faced, but I know there's a God in heaven who wants to take what the enemy tried to destroy you with and turn it around for good. Because when I go to talking to somebody, I can't tell them, "Hey, I know what you," but I'll say, "Michael, go over there and visit with them." Michael will go over and say, "Look, I had nothing till I had Jesus. Then I've got everything and I've made it, and you can make it." All right, now I want you to lift your hands toward heaven and say, "Lord, I am desperate for the purpose wherewith you've called me." If you need the Lord to help you this morning, say, "Lord, help me." Glory to God. Pray, church. Pray. Hallelujah. Don't be worried about what somebody might think. Glory to God. Let him fill you. Let him baptize you. Let him minister and move through you. Hallelujah. Minister, Lord, your spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, for the glory of God. Let go of the bitterness. Let go of the hurt. Let go of the pain. Let go of the heartache. Hallelujah. Let God help you this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm believing you, Lord. I'm believing you, Lord. I'm believing you, Lord. We got time this morning. Lift up your voice. Lift up your hand. Just lift up your voice like Bartimaeus. Cry out, Lord, I'm desperate. I don't want to leave the same way that I came. Hallelujah. Go ahead. Go ahead. Let go and let God bless you this morning. Let Him touch you and help you. Pray while you have the opportunity to pray. Glory, 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 glory. Yes, yes, yes. God's helping folks. Hallelujah. You could be the key to somebody around you. Let Him help you today. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, you see and you know. Oh, God, and you're well able. You're well able, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I'm in need. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all of his troubles. Would you do me a favor this morning? I want you ladies to gather together right over here. I want you men to step over here. I'm just obeying the Lord this morning. I've been pastoring the same church, I told you, for 30 years. I have never in my life seen the enemy attacking like he is right now. What does that tell me, brothers? That tells me that the coming of the Lord is so near and upon us. Hear me. You need to remember that if you miss the rapture, you miss the rapture of the church, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? You miss the rapture, you won't be able to buy or sell without taking the mark of the beast. Now, what is the mark? It's going to be placed in the right hand or on the forehead. Right now, every one of us, carries an identity. You go into Walmart, you can pay with your phone. I go to board an airplane, I just swipe my phone. It is so close. But what's happening? We have this thing called identity theft. Right now, they're trying it. Right now, right outside of Dallas, they're trying it. They're putting a chip in the hand so that when somebody comes in by way of ambulance, they can scan over that chip and it tells them who they are, what they're allergic to. Are you hearing me? We are that close to the trumpet sounding. We are that close to the mark of the beast being set up. Now listen, if you miss the trumpet, don't you take the mark of the beast. Because those who take the mark of the beast are eternally damned. But here's what you need to do. You need to make up your mind right now that you're not going to miss the trumpet. You're going to go out with the trumpet and the saints of God. Hallelujah. If you can't live for the Lord right now while the church and the Spirit of God is here pulling, how are you going to live when the Antichrist is set up? The Spirit of the Antichrist is already working right now. You hear me? We are on the verge. That's why we've got to get desperate about getting men and women in. Hallelujah. That's why you got to have your mind made up. I don't care who says what. I'm not going to be deterred from being what God has called me to be. Right now, you need to pray. You need to pray one for another. Pray that God would help. Pray, sisters, pray. Brother, you pray for that brother beside you. Pray one for another. Hallelujah. Lord, don't let me fail. Lord, don't let me fail. I cannot afford to miss that day for which all other days was created. For the trumpet is about to sound. Oh, God, help us this morning. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, Lord, give me a desperation for souls.